Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Past Lives, Chile 76, and Wham!
Well, I would like to talk about three films today. Two of them hail, actually all of them in different ways, hail from different countries. So it's a pretty diverse bunch of films. And the first one is called Past Lives. And it is it's playing pretty widely now, and it's really been very well received. It's a co-production from the United States and South Korea, and it takes place partly in South Korea, but mainly in the United States. And it's a very, very nice little sort of melancholy romance, and it's really beautifully done. It's a very gentle film. So here's what it's about. There is a young woman who, she has a Korean name, she's a Korean woman, but as a little girl, when she's a little girl, her mother decides to emigrate to the United States and takes the little girl along, and they settle in New York City, and the little girl changes her Korean name to Nora, which sounds a little bit like it, and she sets about developing an American life, and she develops quite a successful life. She becomes a writer. She's a playwright, and she's, you know, not making a lot of money or anything, but she's pretty contented. She's pretty happy. However, at the very, very beginning of the movie, we also meet another very important character, a young Korean boy named Hae-sung. And Hae-sung and his little girlfriend are very close to each other, and he misses her a lot when she moves to New York from Korea. So years and years later, now they are both adults. Nora, as she is now called, discovers, sort of by accident, that Hae-sung, back in Korea, has been trying to find her on the internet. And so she decides to get in touch with him. So after many, many years, these two who last saw each other when they were little children are now in contact as adults on the internet, and they start to develop a bit of a bond, a long-distance bond on the internet. And things develop from there in the movie. Now, a very big twist takes place when Nora, the playwright, goes off to a writer's retreat. She's sort of a place, staying at a place way out in the country, and there aren't many other people there. And there she meets a young American man, a young Jewish American man, and they do fall in love, and eventually they do get married. And it's not clear exactly how passionate they are about each other. We discover a little bit later on that they got married basically so she could get a green card, but they clearly get along really, really well, and they are living together, and they are a pretty happy couple. In the meanwhile, she has this long-distance relationship with her old Korean friend, Hae-sung. So eventually, you can imagine this is going to happen because it's a movie, Hae-sung decides he's going to come to America and see Nora in person. And that's when we start getting a few additional complications in the story. You start to wonder, will Nora end up breaking up with her American husband and somehow hooking up with her long-ago Korean friend, who is now an adult and obviously is very attached to her. One of the sort of themes that runs through the movie is that he has always thought of her, has never gotten her out of his mind since they were little children. And they really, really want to, he really wants to somehow be with her, but we are not sure whether that will ever happen. Now, a very major theme in the movie, and this also explains the title of the movie, Past Lives, is that, as Nora explains at one point to Hae-sung, it is a bit of Korean folklore, or perhaps religious belief, that if people so much as brush each other in the street, that means that in some way, in one of their many past lives, they had some sort of connection. And if you actually are married to somebody, that means that you have had 8,000 layers of connection over many, many thousands of past lives. So that is, again, a little theme that runs through the movie. And the big question is, it's not a big question, but it's a question that sort of haunts the film. Is it possible, as Nora maybe thinks, and as Hae-sung maybe thinks, that because he has always had this connection with her, it's not just one of these psychological quirks that somebody has, or a romantic addition to his life, but maybe it's because they had some sort of connection in their past lives. And again, it's sort of a melancholy film, and it has a little slightly bit of an open-ended climax and finale at the end, but you do have to wonder if it's possible that they had connections in past lives, will they also have connections in future lives? Movie reminded me of another recent South Korean film called Return to Seoul, simply because they're both very quiet and a little bit sad in their emotions. I like Past Lives very much. It's one of the more serious, one of the more restrained, and one of the more thoughtful releases of recent years. Has some beautiful views of New York City, a city I used to call home and which I love very much. And it has this very, very nice emotional tone to it. So again, Past Lives, highly recommended. Also, by the way, beautifully acted. And I should mention, it's the first movie to be written and directed by Celine Song. And I certainly hope we hear a lot more from Celine Song in years to come, and I expect we will. Second film from a very different country, it's called Chile 76. And this was directed and co-written by Manuela Martelli. And here's a surprise for you. Chile 76 takes place in Chile in 1976. And this is about 3 years after the military coup that put the infamous dictator Augusto Pinochet into power and just sent an enormous amount of terror and paranoia through huge swaths of the nation of Chile. That was very famous back in the 1970s. Pretty much the whole world knew about that. And here, that is sort of the background of the story, although it's not really a political film. The main character is a young woman named Carmen. Well, she's not that young, actually. I take that back. A woman named Carmen. And she is from a pretty privileged family. Her husband is a physician, and there are other physicians in the family. And they have plenty of money, and they live pretty contented lives, and pretty much apolitical lives. They're not political folks. They're not caught up in the political turmoil of the country. However, they have a nice beach house. She lives mainly in the big city, but they have a beach house. And one day when she is out at this beach house taking some time off, the local priest comes to see her. And he says that there is a young man who has been in the resistance against Pinochet, and he has been wounded in the leg and is very, very sick. Now, Carmen, in her earlier years, she's an artist and an architect. She does things like that. But when she was much, much younger, she wanted to become a physician herself, and she had a bit of medical training. So that is why the priest comes to her. He says, I can't go to an actual physician or hospital because they would be sure to turn him in, and he will be tortured by the dictatorship if they find out where he is. He was involved again in the resistance. So you've had some medical training. Do you think you could help him? Well, she says, I really don't know about these things, but I'll do what I can. And so she manages to treat the terrible wound in his leg. She knows some people where she can secretly get a hold of some antibiotics, and she treats him, and gradually he recovers, and she pays visits to him from time to time. And that is the basic thrust of the story. The big question is, will he be discovered? Will she be discovered for helping him? Well, I'm not going to certainly tell how that comes out. Now, it sounds like a very dramatic story, and it is a very dramatic story in Chile 76. It takes place in dramatic times, deals with dramatic events, but sort of indirectly. Because again, we're not seeing the coup, we're not seeing the people being terrorized, we're only hearing a little bit out in the street. This movie makes a lot of use of off-screen space where we hear things without directly seeing them. Mainly, we have these quiet relationships of Carmen visiting the wounded young man and gradually nursing him back to health, and her dealing with her family and various things happening there. And again, they're pretty privileged people, so it's not all that dramatic. So the movie has this very sort of quiet, restrained tone, kind of like the movie I was just talking about. Another movie that's very quiet and restrained, but it has a lot of drama implicit in it. And the more you can relate to that, the more dramatic you're going to find the movie as a whole. Now, I want to mention something now, which may sound a little bit esoteric, but I hope not. There is, from a neighboring country, from Argentina, there is another very, very fine woman filmmaker, a woman named Lucrecia Martel. And she has been making movies for a number of years, and she is phenomenally talented. Her movies include La Cienega, The Holy Girl, most recently a movie called Zama. And she's a terrific filmmaker, makes real genuine, flat-out art films that are very engrossing and engaging. And one of the things that interested me is that the very similarly named Manuela Martelli really reminded me of Lucrecia Martel in her filmmaking, because both of them make movies about women primarily, and both of them make movies which are very restrained and quiet and indirect. So getting back to our main film now, Chile 76, it is exactly those things. It is quiet, it is indirect, it is very much centered on a woman, and it very much deals with the uncertainties that she faces in her world. And it's a terrific movie. It's streaming pretty wildly. It's been out for a little while now, but it just recently started streaming, and I really recommend it again. If you're interested in Latin American film, if you're interested in Latin America, this is definitely a movie to catch up with. Chile 76 by Manuela Martelli, a very, very interesting, engrossing, and engaging drama. And for our final film today, Wham! With an exclamation point. So don't call it Wham! Call it Wham! And this is a movie about the pop group Wham! Who really got started back in 1981. And they had a lot of success, between about 1982 and 1986. And there were two members of it, Andrew Ridgeley and George Michael. And this movie deals with the two of them very much. And we see they're struggling to form this rock group, and they're finally getting together. And it's mainly a duo. It's mainly the two of them. But they get some backup people, and they manage to put together a kind of an amateur demo, and they really have a hard time getting it accepted. But once it is accepted, their career takes off, and they become hugely popular. And before very long, they are playing all over England, which is, of course, where they're based, and playing other countries, and playing little clubs, and playing stadiums, and doing all the things that super successful rock groups are supposed to do. So that is what Wham! Is about. And we see a whole lot of footage from their early career and from their later career, and we get a little outline of how they managed to forge this success, and we see a lot of footage of the two guys, and we find out a little bit about them. And one of the interesting things in the movie, and it's very poignant, by the way, is that whereas Andrew Ridgeley is not gay, George Michael is very much gay. And he has to keep this in the closet, because back in the early and middle 1980s, you could not be an out gay rock and roller. Now, this is all sort of ironic, I think, because right around roughly the same time, glam rock was going on, and people like Roxy Music and David Bowie were playing with this androgyny and playing with decking themselves out like women and all of that. But to actually say, hey, I'm gay and that's the way I am, you really couldn't do that. And George Michael certainly didn't feel that he could do it. So he kept this under the radar. He stayed in the closet, and he paid a tremendous personal price for this. Now, one of the things about Wham! Is that it's a very bouncy movie. I felt like I was watching an old documentary about the Monkees or something. It's very bouncy, and it's full of fun, and it's full of lovely music, and it's full of just chirpy tunes and all of that. My wife, who is from England, and who was a teenager at the time that Wham! Was having its enormous success, was very surprised when the movie ended without ever getting into the later career of George Michael. One of the members, Andrew Ridgeley, eventually dropped out of the group after a while because George Michael was clearly bent on forging his own solo career and going for a more adult market. George Michael then continued on his way, and he was very successful, but he got into the kinds of troubles that are so horribly familiar with rock and rollers. There were drugs, there was sex, there were scandals, there was homosexual scandals, all the kinds of things that he had tried so hard to keep out of the media, and his alcoholism and his drug addiction and his gay escapades and getting busted and stuff like that, just were all over the media. And eventually his life turned into a very unhappy one, even though he was having enormous success in his chosen field, at least for a while, of being a solo rock and roller. So Wham! Is really, it's a lot of fun. Look, I was never into Wham! I had fun sort of watching the movie and tapping my toe. That's about it. It is the opposite of a great film. It's very standard, very conventional. If you're interested in the inside story, and if you're interested in the after party, the post-history of After Wham!, it is just not going to give you that, and which I think is too bad, because we can learn from the very sad experiences that George Michael went through for so many years after the great success of Wham! But for what it is, which is a bouncy little movie about a popular rock and roll group back in the 80s, Wham! Is the opposite of a great film, but hey, it's sort of fun. By the way, I always like to plug my book when I talk about a rock and roll movie. My book, Rock and Roll Movies, published by Rutgers University Press. It was published long before this movie, Wham! Came out. Maybe if there's a second edition someday, I'll somehow work Wham! Into it. So that is my slightly rock and rolling story this week.
For which we thank you as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Past Lives, Chile 76, and Wham!
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.